Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, please stand to hear the word of God. And this morning I'm working from just one verse. It's Proverbs 14, verse 15. This is the word of God. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Thus far the word of the Lord. And may he bless it to us all. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the fourth in a series on how to resist tyranny. In this sermon series, I have defined tyranny as a government or rule or power that is contrary to God's government, which is the model for human government under God. Tyranny is human government that is in rebellion against God's government, that seeks to overthrow and usurp God's government. In the second psalm, God exposes the rebellion of human kings and judges against him and against his spirit-anointed human king. The word says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Here we see the kings of the earth and the rulers in rebellion against the Lord, who is the God and ruler not only of Israel, but over all the nations. Indeed, over these rulers. Indeed, over all the rulers, not just long ago and far away in ancient times, but at the present as well. They want to overthrow the rule of the Lord and his anointed king, and to establish themselves and their rule in his place. In verses 4 to 6 of the second psalm, we see the Lord's response. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. So the Lord rebukes the rebellious kings and rulers and warns them that even as they are plotting their rebellion, he's already established the rule of his anointed king. And then we read the response of the Lord's anointed king himself. He says, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Thus declares the Lord's anointed king, that he has been given his sovereignty on earth by the Lord in heaven, and that his government and rule on earth will reflect and manifest the reign of the Lord of heaven. Then the psalm warns and commands the kings and rulers of the earth to serve the Lord and his anointed king on earth. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Those kings and rulers who refuse to serve the Lord and his anointed will perish. But the Lord's anointed king ends his declaration with his blessing upon all those who are loyal to him. The last verse of the psalm, the anointed king says, blessed are all who take refuge in him. The second psalm, therefore, reveals and explains the reality of God's government of the world by and through his spirit-anointed king, which has now been established. by the incarnation, life, ministry, death, resurrection, ascension, and ongoing reign of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus himself declared, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then on the basis of that sovereign authority that has been given to him, we are to serve him and to disciple the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that King Jesus has commanded. And he has promised to be with us always, even to the end. The rulers on the earth must understand that this reign of King Jesus is real, and that they are accountable, and that they will stand before him to be judged by him on the last day. They must also understand that the validity of their authority depends on their acknowledgement of his authority. And if they seek to undermine his authority, they undermine their own authority. And likewise, that means we must understand this, that the king, the reign of King Jesus is real, and that we too will stand before him to be judged by him on the last day. That is why we cannot submit to the tyranny of our flesh, our sinful hearts, nor can we submit to the tyranny of the devil, nor can we submit to the tyranny of the world, that is, society and culture that is in rebellion against the Lord and against his anointed King, Jesus. Now, in the last three sermons that I've given you in this series, or I guess the first three sermons, have been on how to resist tyranny, specifically resisting the tyranny of our own flesh, our fallen sinful nature, resisting the tyranny of the devil who seeks to enslave us by lies and deceptions, and to resist the tyranny of the unbelieving culture that is aligned against the Lord and against his anointed and tries to make us conform to it. It is these three forms of tyranny that underline what we usually think of as tyranny, namely the tyranny of the state, manifested in the actions of government officials. When we as modern Americans hear the word tyranny, or we think of tyranny, we quite naturally think of the tyranny of the state. That's because we have grown up in a context of knowing about the tyranny of Nazi Germany, or of the Bolsheviks in Soviet Russia, or present-day communist China. And indeed, our own nation was founded on resistance to tyranny, the tyranny of King George III, the King of England. So it's quite naturally that we think of tyranny as having to do with corrupt states and civil governments. But the tyrannies that underneath whatever tyranny might be exercised by civil government authorities, it's the tyranny of the flesh, the tyranny of the devil, the tyranny of the world. This is what plagued King George III. Why was he behaving as a tyrant? He himself, like us, had to struggle against the tyranny of the flesh and of the tyranny of the devil and of the unbelieving world. Whatever were his personal failings, and I don't know much about King George III, he and his government were behaving in a tyrannical way toward the American colonies. The founders of our nation, like King George III, also struggle against the tyranny of the flesh, sinful nature, tyranny of the devil, and the tyranny of the unbelieving world. They, like King George III, were also accountable to God for their own sins. And therefore, in the founding document of our nation, the Declaration of Independence, our founders publicly appealed to God to vindicate the legitimacy of their resistance to the tyranny of King George III and for the legitimacy of the new nation state that they were establishing. In other words, our founders understood that the new nation they were establishing depended for its own legitimacy upon the legitimacy of their resistance to the tyranny of King George III. It would not be enough to simply have a victory and to establish a new nation state. The new nation state had to be a just and righteous nation under God. That was the vision of our founders, most of whom were Christians, who themselves knew all too well the struggle within their own hearts against the tyranny of the flesh, knew all too well the struggle of tyranny against the lies and deceptions of the devil, and the struggle of resistance against the tyranny of unbelieving society and culture. That is why they built into the constitution of the new nation a government with a separation and limitation of powers and checks and balances on power. Now, I want to make the point that we as Christians face increasing tyranny by government officials today. And as we face that, we have to remember this, that if we're going to resist government tyranny, we must maintain, first of all, our ongoing resistance against the tyranny of our own flesh and the tyranny of the devil and the tyranny of the unbelieving world. Because if we don't, we may become like or even worse than the tyranny we oppose. The founders realized that. That's why they set up the kind of government they did, with all kinds of limitations on power and checks and balances on power. They knew the struggle against the flesh and against the lies and deceptions of the devil and of the world. And so I propose to you Proverbs 14:15. You might have been wondering, when on earth is Pastor going to get to his text? Well, here it is. I propose to you Proverbs 14:50 as a perspective on our resistance to government tyranny. The text says, "The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps." As you can see, it's a pretty simple verse. There's two basic parts to it. First, it warns against being simple, being a naive kind of person that just goes with the flow of what everybody says. Such a person is very easily led astray. Second, it commends the kind of person who is prudent. It's not a word you hear very much in the early 21st century. The word prudent, that is the kind of person who is alert to what is going on and who seeks to live and make decisions based on what is true and real and right. That's why I spent time on the second psalm, because the second psalm sketches out for us briefly, that is, the Holy Spirit sketches out for us briefly, the reality in which we live. That is, that Jesus Christ is God's anointed king and he is reigning. Whether or not people believe that, that is the reality. And we are all accountable to King Jesus. So I want to encourage us all to apply this perspective of Proverbs 14:15 to the whole subject of resisting the tyranny of the flesh and the tyranny of the devil and the tyranny of the unbelieving society that is hostile to God. First of all, it is always easy to go with the flow as a simple, naive person and to find fault with civil government. It's very easy to find fault with the very best of civil government, because it's made up of government officials that are ordinary human beings with all their sins and follies, who themselves are in a struggle, whether they realize it or not, with the world and the flesh and the devil. And if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, Well, they're pretty much captive to the tyranny of the world and the flesh and the devil. And that's going to show up in their work as government officials. And so it's very easy to find fault. It's very easy to complain about government, even the very best government. And I believe we have the best form of government in the world. You know, there's all these complaints about how evil America is these days, and all the terrible things in the history of this nation. And I would say this, granting all of that is so, just for the sake of argument, I don't think it is so, but granting that for the sake of argument, it's far better than everything else outside this country. That's why everybody else wants to come here. You know? And the problems are real, and we have to address those. And if we, the people of God, do not address those, we have got no right to complain. Okay? So then, secondly, it is always very easy also to be completely blind to our own faults, especially when we're exposing the faults of others, such as civil government officials. You know, I'm not a member of the fan club of our governor, but I wouldn't want to be in her shoes for one nanosecond. I don't know anything about her personally, but I know this, I need to pray for her and for all of our government officials. I need to think and behave toward our government officials with an awareness of their struggle with and perhaps their subjection to the tyranny of the world and the flesh and the devil. I need to beware of naively going along with what everyone says and to be prudent and wise and aware of our own struggles with the world and the flesh and the devil, as and in the midst of our seeking to legitimately and justly expose and oppose government tyranny. We especially want to make sure that our resistance to government tyranny, that in that we are obedient to God, and that we ourselves don't become like or worse than the tyranny that we say we oppose. You see, it's not enough to simply go along with the crowd and to be against something or to oppose something. And again, civil government is always an easy target. Rather, we must be for something most especially, and most particularly, and that is the reign of King Jesus. For his government is perfect and fair and righteous and just. Indeed, his government is the standard for all human government to follow and to be measured by. So let us be sure to honor King Jesus in our thoughts and words and deeds and to act accordingly to advance his true righteousness and justice and grace and mercy in our lives, and most especially in our corporate life as the Church of Jesus Christ, which is most directly under his authority and government. We are the ones who profess to believe under the government of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that way, dear brothers and sisters, we can point the world to a tangible demonstration, an example of good government. Now, we don't have to be perfect, but we do have to be credible. Amen. Let us respond to these applications of the word of the Lord. Let us stand and let us lift up our hearts and our voices and our hands to the Lord, singing the doxology.